Hello, Anchor. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is your host, Anna Guerra. And today we have a very special guest here. Today it's kind of a special episode because we've never had an official guest here on the Anna Guerra show. And you will soon meet him. This is João Ramadas, and we've actually talked about him before here on the station. Probably about 2 weeks ago, I met João. And we talked a little bit about his new project, his startup Hubster. And today he's going to tell us a little bit more about that and also about what the hell he has been doing his whole life, kind of. So I've met João because he was doing a bachelor's in management in Ishkte, which was my previous university, where I did my bachelor's as well. And then we were in Ishkte Junior Consulting together, although we've never actually worked in the same project, but obviously we saw each other. So, João, tell us a little bit about yourself and say hello to everyone on Anchor.
Hi, everyone. It's a pleasure, by the way. First guest. What a great honor. So, I'm 21. I'm from Lisbon. And as Ana said, I did my bachelor in Ishkte. Great stuff. And then I went to Católica. Meanwhile, I did a few internships, a lot of extracurriculars. I did an exchange abroad. Mm-hmm. I went actually to work abroad in London. I can talk to you later about it. And I always try to keep it fun. That's kind of my motto. Mm-hmm. Let's hope I can make this podcast fun.
Yeah, hopefully we will. I mean, definitely. It's not that much that we have guests on the show. So just having two different voices, I think it makes it a whole bunch more interactive and also different opinions and everything. So, first of all, I think maybe we should talk a little bit about your company. Like, what is Hubster? How did it start? What's the mission? Everything that you want to tell us about it. This is your pitch time.
Okay, so basically, Hubster is born out of a problem I had. So, ever since I was a kid, I always was looking for a good bargain, either with a phone, with a game, whatever. And then when I started to think about buying a car, it was not different. So I wanted to try buy secondhand so I can get a better car for a much lower price. And after I buy one and then I sold it and I bought one and I sold it, and I was like, I can't make a good decision on this. Like, why can't I? And it's just such a big thing, such a complex purchase that most people do not have the information in order to make a correct purchase. So what I tried to do is I tried to find a solution, and there was no clear, obvious solution, at least in Portugal. So I decided to create Hubster, and it's been on my mind and on paper and stuff like that for about a year now. And I launched it about a month. And the whole concept is that I provide to you a specialist that can go with you to see the car and make the most complete possible valuation of the car in all of the aspects. Actually, you're finding this out firsthand. So we're adding a new feature. So we're going to have a different kind of valuation. So one on the spot where you take the specialist with you, which is more flexible. And then we have another one which is a little bit more complete, which is going to be in like a body shop with different kinds of accessories to evaluate the car, which is going to make it more professional in a sense. Mm-hmm. So the mission is basically like to empower every single one to buy a secondhand car, like no exceptions.
Mm-hmm. And to make the best decision, right?
Yeah, like you might not buy the car and you think, I spent the money in the valuation, I didn't buy it. But you should always see it the other way around. I didn't spend 3,000 euros on something that is not good. Mm-hmm. So I think, yeah, it's a little bit about giving you all information that you can have to make the best decision possible, and you do not buy a ticking time bomb, something like that.
A ticking time bomb. And so how is the process? So someone who now wants to use Hubster, how does it work?
So currently it's really, really simple. So we have a site where the purpose is just for you to get to know the service, get to know how it works. And then what you do is you fill out a form where you give us a few information, like I want to see the car X. This is the information about the car. This is the place. And I would like to see either Saturday or Monday morning, something like that. And then I'm going to get in touch with you. We're going to straight out the details in order for it to be super clean. And then I'm going to match you with a specialist that has the availability to go with you. And then once all is confirmed, you make the payment, and then the valuation actually happens. and you receive a report right there. Right now it's still not done online, but it will be very soon, and you receive a report with all the information that we got from the car. And then we have like a 24-hour window for you to complain. So if the guy doesn't show or he steals from you, whatever, we have an assurance that you get your money back. So it's not like I pay beforehand, so I'm screwed. Mm-hmm. It's nothing like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So if someone fills in the form right now, they get to talk to you. That's the key point.
They get to talk to me. They think like, oh, it's a salesperson. No, it's actually the guy.
It's the guy, yeah. And you mentioned that in the first purchases, back when we talked, that you wanted to go with the client for the first ones. Have you been to a few?
Yeah, the ones we've done so far, mm-hmm. have been present. And that's where I got, for example, when I told you that the report is done at the spot right now. And then once I started looking at the reports, like with the handwriting, with the conditions, with everything else, and then I started to think like rain, cold, traffic, time issues, whatever, it makes a lot of sense for us to have on the website just a special part for the specialists where they can go in, choose the valuation, fill in report, and then fill it in within 24 hours, let's say, mm-hmm. and then send it straight to the client's email. So that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to be present so I can see how the interaction is. How do they, what do they think? Do they have suggestions? Is it ridiculous? Is it not? That kind of thing. So I can improve the product as much as possible, because one of the things you learn, or at least if you read a few books about entrepreneurship, is you need to launch quickly and then pivot fast. Every time you see that something needs to change, you need to pivot and not be afraid of pivoting. So it's a little bit more of an evolution than a pivot, but it's still important for me to understand how things really, really work.
Mm-hmm. And how has been the experience so far? Are you learning a little bit as well?
Yeah, I think I will be an expert soon. No, for example, I thought that the valuations would be quicker. I thought, and they're not, because at least maybe I'm very lucky, but the specialists I chose, they're very meticulous. So they take about an hour something, because they check like every single box I give to them in the checklist, and then they take the car for a spin. And then they take the time to speak to the client. So they understand how important it is to have backing clients in the beginning, especially in the beginning. And they've been very meticulous. And even the sellers, sometimes they're like, yeah, this is a good service. This makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And the feedback I've been getting is really good. But again, in the beginning, it's hard to do a lot of sales because there is so much to be done.
Yeah. So in terms of so much to be done, can you kind of tell us a little bit about the process that has took you to this moment? Because you said you've had this idea for about a year or something. So what was the first step besides, you know, thinking about the problem and thinking about the product and everything? What was like one of the first steps? And
so I'm a little bit... I like to do a lot of things. So once I started thinking about the idea, I was involved with unit places, with lots of extracurriculars. Mm-hmm. I was doing the schoolwork. I was doing a lot of things. And then I started to realize...
Was this while you were in Erasmus?
No, it was before. It was while in Portugal, yeah.
Yeah.
So what I started to figure out was that I had a really like a problem-solving mindset. So I started to write everything down. So I had an Excel with a lot of tabs, like, mm-hmm. what is this for? What does this solve? How can I mm-hmm. do it? What do I need to get done? What are the main issues? And I have like 6 or 7 tabs mm-hmm. with different ideas. And then there came to a point where I just said like, I'm going to drop one thing that I'm doing that it's not actually making me grow anymore. And I'm going to start my own thing. I'm going to start thinking about it, structuring everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to go with this one. So this is my first startup. Be on the lookout for the rest. And then I just started like writing everything a little bit more in detail, because I just had bullet points kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the first obvious step as a entrepreneur, it was contests.
Mm-hmm.
Because I got a lot of feedback. I got great new ideas. And then I have like, for example, now in my laptop, lots of notes, fulls mm-hmm. of ideas I want to do in the future that I'm not... doable right now. And then they all came from talking to people. That's where I get the most value, actually.
So you have a lot of like next steps already figured out, kind of, or in your mind at least.
Again, entrepreneurial knowledge. Like, you need to start with one place and one simple idea to prove the concept. And then once you get customer feedback and you start testing and exploring the other options. So I really wanted to focus on Lisbon and on the valuations itself. And then I have a lot of other ideas once I start expanding to other markets or once I want to extend the product lifeline. So there's a lot of things to do, but it doesn't make sense to do them right now.
Do you remember like a specific advice that someone gave you, which like totally changed the game, or something that you had in mind and then you figured out, oh, this is totally wrong? Was there such a thing in this journey?
There was, like, for example, if you think about the market, I mean, right now you have the buyers and the sellers. And I was in one entrepreneurial contest and we were talking about, I don't know what, like something that was not directly connected to this. But then it just started clicking in my mind, saying that, like, why should I only be selling to the buyer? I can be a quality stamp for the seller. And then this was just like, whoa. So I just got my laptop. I can't forget this. And I had like two or three moments like this, like big ones. For example, there was a moment where I realized that lots of people want to buy a foreigner car because it's cheaper. And they don't know how. And then once they try to do it, there's a lot of taxes involved and a lot of interest and little things. And I was like, I can add value here. So eventually, if I go abroad to Portugal, I can actually get a third service where I help you buy foreigner cars, as long as I am in that market. So there's a lot of moments like this. I realized that that was a big thing for me. In the beginning, you're always afraid someone's going to steal from you. Like, I'm going to tell my idea to this guy's going to say, this is genius, I'm going to do it. And that is not the point at all. Like, once you talk to people, they get really interested and they start giving like feedback and new ideas and whatever. And they once they drop you, then they stop talking to you, it goes out of their mind. But for that moment, they just give you feedback. And and I'm like, there's a lot of things and a lot of good things I found out just by speaking to random people. I was speaking the other day about this with my cousin, which has like no connection to management or business or whatever. And he told me like, oh, so have you contacted driving schools? And I was like, driving schools, damn. And now I'm going to do like 100 driving schools with flyers, with everything I can.
There's already an Excel with that,
yeah,
right?
There's actually a map done on Google Maps. You can actually create a map. I did a whole bunch of spots that I divided by colors, and there's an Excel also. There's a bunch of things, and we're going to start doing it this week. And it was completely random. I think I was giving him a ride to the airport or something, and he tells me that. I was like, that's good. That is good. There's a lot of things like this.
Yeah.
Lots of funny stories.
And I remember you, last time we talked, you also spoke about, you know, all of these things that people say, oh, it's so great for startups now and entrepreneurs, it's all so easy. But you said that in your own experience, and I guess what you've talked with other people, the actual process of creating a company and making it official, it's kind of a pain in the ass, right?
Yeah, so it's hard. If you think about it, how many failed entrepreneurs do you know? None, probably. But if I asked you successful ones, you can tell me like 10, because you only know the successful ones. So as much as I can tell you, or doing a workshop or a presentation, whatever, where I say like, this is not a paradise, this is not fairy tale land, you just don't start making millions out of nothing, it doesn't get to your mind, because what you see in the papers is UniPlaces does a million per year. This one got that million for funding, and you just get an idea of this is amazing, when actually it is really, really hard, especially in the beginning, and especially even more if you're a first-time entrepreneur. Because, for example, I don't know if you relate to me with this topic, but I feel like once you leave a bachelor, like in the management area, you might know a lot of things, but in the practical sense, you do not know that much. So I had a law course. Great, did me nothing for this. Fiscality, like, doesn't do me much. It's like, those are specific towards getting you a few points of knowledge, let's say, mm-hmm. so you can get into a big company and then you get the proper training and then you're going to be like a typing machine just doing X, mm-hmm. X, 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 X. And it nothing like that. There's so many steps and there's also about the timing. So, for example, when would you say is the perfect time to officially open the company? Mm-hmm. I just don't know. I still don't know.
There's no right answer, right?
There's no right answer. Yeah. Because if you think about it, like, imagine this is completely new in Portugal. So I'm mm-hmm. proving something or trying to prove something. So it can go to 2 million, whatever, mm-hmm. in 2 years. Or it can go to nothing and I'm going to be working elsewhere. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So in the beginning, you're putting your own money on the line. So if you think about it, let's say I did 4 sales this month. Mm-hmm. And just to begin the company, I would have to spend at least 500 euros and then have an accounting which is going to pay me, which I'm going to pay him 150 a month.
Yeah.
So it's just accumulates and then there's a lot of constraints about IRS and contracts and there's so much issues. So that's one of the things I'm learning about the timing. That's why I understand now why lots of VCs and business angels prefer no first-time entrepreneurs because mm-hmm. it's really a learning curve. What I did now in a month or 2 months, I can probably do it the second time in a week because mm-hmm. I just know like I need to go there, there, there.
Yeah,
and then exactly. I know a few people and I'm in the ecosystem in a certain way. People start to recognize me a little bit more as an entrepreneur instead of the guy I met in college. So it's funny, like for example, we met in college, I was in IJC like you, mm-hmm. lots of things, we went to the UK.
Yeah, that's how it all started again. Me and João actually didn't actually talk, right?
Yeah,
like,
for a
we
while.
We knew each other, right? But we never actually let's talk or...
The last time we spoke, it was about leadership tournament because I remember when I went to speak
to
you.
Yeah, and we were in the same team, right?
We were trying to make a team happen, mm-hmm. but then a few colleagues dropped out and then we were like, forget about it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so, and then we met again because I don't know who messaged who. I think it was me who said, oh, you're in London.
I think
or it's the other
possible.
Way around. I'm not sure.
I spoke to you
because
I wanted...
you were looking for someone, right?
Yeah, I was looking for a co-founder. She said no. Yeah, and then we just started connecting every once in a while, and it was kind of fun. I forgot my point actually. We were saying something about so people start to get to know you as an entrepreneur. Yeah. So before we met like 2 weeks ago or something, you probably wouldn't give me a call mm-hmm. to come here and speak about entrepreneurship. But now you recognize me as someone trying to mm-hmm. do something. And now I start to get in events and people start to email me randomly like, oh, do you want to do a podcast? Do you want mm-hmm. to come interview here? Do you want to do a whatever? So it's really good for noticing, sort of getting noticed, me, the startup. And then you start to build a reputation, which is really, really important in the startup world.
Yeah. And thank God it's not as big startup world as it is in a city like London. But still, I think it's very special, the ecosystem here. I love it.
It's a good time to get in because it's growing, but it's still not at the point where you start a startup and no one gives a crap. Mm-hmm. Because in London, it's like probably every
day.
You're
just another one.
Yeah, there's another one. In 2 weeks, there's going to be another one. Mm. And in Portugal, it's quite smaller than, because I think it's still very focused in Lisbon and in Porto, maybe Braga. Mm-hmm. But it's a great time to get in because you can meet a lot of people. And the people I meet now, I feel like in a few years are going to be huge. Mm-hmm. And it's a really easy way to make contacts.
Yeah. And I guess lastly, in terms of Hubster, the one thing that I wanted to talk to you is in terms of what it's like to be just a solo entrepreneur. How has that been for you? Because now you're just, this is your full-time job, kind of, because you're doing your thesis at the same time. But still, this your schedule, you're the one who's making it, you're the one working. So how is that like?
So I'm going to do my thesis only in 2018. So this is actually my full-time job now. Mm-hmm. And I'm not alone anymore. I have 2 co-founders now,
woo!
Which is awesome. But speaking about being alone, mm-hmm. it is really complicated. While you're not actually pursuing it seriously, like you're doing your school and you do a few contests and you try to do something, it's not a big deal. But mm-hmm. once, like, for example, when I came back and I did like in 3 days, 15 interviews for specialists, and I was just exhausted. And I had that feeling like everything is on my back, and if I don't do this, this will never get done. And it gets easier with the co-founders, and it's very, very, very lonely. So you don't have someone to brainstorm, to talk bullshit. Mm-hmm. For example, just it's a really simple thing, but it makes my point. I was doing interviews and I scheduled them 45 minutes apart. It made sense. I think it makes them stand still. And I did one and it ended like with 20 minutes towards the next one. And what did I do? I didn't have an office, so I had to go to a coffee shop. I didn't want to stay in the coffee shop just waiting because they were going to be like, are you ordering something?
Yeah.
And I had no money to order. And I just went to my car and I was just like sitting in my car, bored out of my mind. Just waiting and waiting and waiting. And then there was another point where I had someone with me. So we did the interview. We sat. We discussed the interviewee. We talked strategy. We talked about next steps. We talked about it. It was just so much easier just to have someone there so you're not alone. Because mm-hmm. it's from 2 to 3, it's not a big difference. But from 1 to 2 is huge. And is a really, really big step because I don't know about you, but my friends with the kind of technical expertise I needed were very limited. And I only realized that and how hard it was to get someone like that
mm-hmm.
Once I started actually looking, because they have so much offer, like good paychecks. They have a lot of things to do in college also. So it's really hard for you to find someone who actually knows how to do stuff and has the will to do it based on equity, which
might be
a lot and might be absolutely nothing. So that's kind of those were my big pain points, like being alone and the pressure, like everything is on you.
Mm-hmm.
The costs, the benefits, but mostly the costs.
Yeah, and the time is there and you have to do something with it.
Yeah,
right?
And you need to make something happen, and then
mm-hmm.
you can't get an entrepreneurial contest because you don't have a team. You
mm-hmm.
can't get investment because you don't have a team.
Mm-hmm.
And then you need to be at 3 p.m. in A and at 3:30 in B. And you need to just get things done.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no like splitting. For example, think about the driving schools. I chose 100 in Lisbon.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do half. Half is probably going to kill me for 2 days at least. If I had to do the 100 ones, it would be like exhausting a full week of work. And while I'm doing that, I can't be doing other things. I can't be thinking about what I can do next. I can't be making partnerships. I can't look for investment.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of things you need to do. And this is no part-time job. Someone told me that and I bought their advice because I was actually looking for a part-time job to do at the same time and make a few money, a few bucks. And it is not a part-time job. At least someone needs to be full-time, needs to be the face of the company or the startup.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really important.
How was the process to find someone? What strategy, what platforms, what did you do to find these people? Because I know how hard it is. I've been through kind of a similar thing. So
So basically what you need to do firstly is check out the right platforms. For example, for startups, you can use LinkedIn, but not as much. And you can use Angel and F6S, which are two very good entrepreneurial platforms. Actually working in Portugal, because there's a lot of co-found me kind of thing, but
mm-hmm.
they don't actually work in Portugal because they don't have the people to fill in the platform.
Mm-hmm.
So actually that didn't bring me much results. So when I got the most results, it was more out of hustler moves. So once you start thinking a lot about something, you start to figure out crazy ways to get things done. So I found out that there was a coding bootcamp, which is Luwagon, and that they were doing the one in Lisbon right now, and that they were going to have a demo day with their works on whatever night in Mercado Ribeira. So I was like, I'm going to go there. I'm going to sign up. I'm going to see the projects. I'm going to like scout. I'm going to check out the Portuguese, get their contacts, or just network with them a little bit and just get a co-founder. So I went there. It wasn't actually a networking moment, so they were just like a group of friends hanging out, super excited because they finished and it was awesome. So I just noted the names of everyone, of course, Portuguese. Then I went to the events later, and then I added them, and then I started messaging. A few ones said no, some didn't respond, and then there was one who like showed an interest, and I started talking to him. It was really interesting because he was from economics, but he was like a self-learner of Photoshop, Illustrator. Now he went to the bootcamp and he knows how to program. So it was a really, really interesting partner for me because I can discuss with him strategy, I can ask him to do communication material, I can ask him to do the website, and it's really important to have someone which is flexible and knows how to do a lot of things. And the other one was based on just LinkedIn efforts. I have a few followers, like 1.5k or something, and I started to post a little bit about my experience as an entrepreneur, and then I told people about the vacancy, about the CMO, and then I actually got a really, really interesting, I have a few people interested, but the one who is with us now, he is in Paris working, and it's a secret. And it's really been cool, and I think we have a nice team.
I think I might know who it is, but I'm not going to say anything.
Doesn't matter, it's a secret. It's like our secret co-founder.
Okay, okay.